Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
We put Nick Padone on the spot, and in his rap did not quite live up to rapping Baskin, but he said it might happen again. He might feel the flow or the hustle. That's a good movie, by the way. Terrence Howard. Love that guy. Might feel the hustle and or the flow at some point there. Is that fair?
It's fair.
It just wasn't there.
I will say, I feel like the chances of it happening, though, are kind of like diminishing, especially just because like it's getting later. I feel like the sun's starting to go in. Like, I'm not seeing as much natural light come into the studio. We got Daryl at 6, so like, I don't want to disrespect, you know, bringing him into the program. Like, I feel like our opportunities are kind of fleeing.
I would rather you disrespect bringing him into the program.
It would be
added points. No. You rapping for Daryl and Daryl feeling disrespected by that would only make it funnier to me. Like, Daryl getting upset only makes things much more funnier to me. Now, if you guys did miss it, we did announce we're going to be live on YouTube from 2 to 7 every weekday starting on Monday. And here's my favorite thing, because, you know, we've been doing the YouTube thing, posting clips now for the better part of this year. And we were the last show to get video. That wasn't really a me or JP choice. That kind of went to where the show previously was. And so we're like, well, everybody here is very pro, like, getting on YouTube so you guys can see us. Can tell my favorite thing about being on YouTube and having a different way for people to view us. It's been going to high school football games and people being like, hey, because usually people get a little timid because they, you know, you're in kind of your personal space and they're very, very, people are always so great about that of like, is it okay? And I'm like, of course it's okay. Like, come on, let's talk. What's up? Who are you? But the coolest thing is it's given people more confidence to know who we are.
Yeah.
And so like, it's been like at least once, I'm going to sound very important here. At least once per game, I've gotten noticed. No, it annoys the hell out of Vanessa, which makes it even funnier to me. It's the Daryl principle. But at least one time that I've been noticed per week, it's been somebody going, I know you because of YouTube now.
Yeah.
Or I listen to you, but now I see you on YouTube, so I know what you look like, and then I immediately apologize.
Dude, wait until, like, because, like, I've obviously been on YouTube for a minute with, you know, with Big Play and obviously, like, just being on the internet and front-facing on the internet with, like, my face on video out there for years and years. Like, especially with Vanessa, like, go to a Guardians game as a fan and see what happens.
It's so funny because she really is proud, which I think is the sweetest thing in the world. But her reaction is to get a little embarrassed and then be like, oh, great, this guy again. And I'm like, I lean over. I go, secretly, you love it. Just admit you love it.
I don't know if Cam likes it or not.
So I do think it's an acquired thing. I grew up in the business.
Right.
So my dad, even when he wasn't at a sports talk station, my dad was big all night down the road on WONE. So like, my dad was always at events. My dad was always, and so I just got used to meeting listeners. And so, like, there's no BS. It's like one of my favorite things of the job. So, like, when we go out to Rally House or when we go out to one of the bars in town or when we do those things and you guys come out and see us, it's definitely not a one-way transaction. It is really cool to get to know you guys because the difference between, like, Cleveland and let's say, Carolina is, whereas they had a nice community of people who were fans, in Charlotte, you know, you might have somebody this group of fans became fans of the Panthers in 1996, and then this group over here became in 2001, and this one grew up with it, this one didn't, this one's converted Commanders fans, and this, that, and the other, whereas in Cleveland, we all just kind of have the same experience being Browns, Guardians, and Cavs fans, even if it differ from thing to thing. So, like, every time we get to... Guys, I just tap into... We just tap into that. Yeah, I tap into that fandom. I tap into that passion, which I think separates Cleveland. And the cool thing about that is it really, like, to me, like, the coolest thing to hear is, hey, is it okay if we talk sports? It's like, you understand how many times I got kicked out of health class or independent study, or I got told to stop listening to a game in my ear at a night class in college. Like, the amount of times that all I've wanted to do, every one of my best friendships, my best friend since I was 14 years old, Nate and I, bonded over talking Guardians baseball. My best friend, Jeremy, and I, one of my cabin boys, bonded over talking Guardians at a telephone gig in Akron when we were 21 years old and we couldn't afford to buy Cokes on break. That's Coca-Cola, not Coke. We couldn't afford Coke either. However, the second thing, but like the rest of the cabin boys, we bonded over the NFL draft and betting shots over who was going to be a draft pick, I think in the 2010 or 2011 NFL draft. And now we get to, so like when people are like, is it okay if we talk sports? I'm like, dude, I wish you would. Like that's like, yep, that's my job. Uh-huh. It's also the thing I like to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It is pretty cool, man. Especially just because like, I guess I didn't understand like how much of a escape this really was for people, you know, that, and people go through like really tough real world stuff, and just like listening to us on the station, or you know, now subscribing on YouTube and just being fans of us and our takes, even if they don't agree with what we have to say, like it's just such a nice escape for people that have like such real jobs and such real stressors. Not that this isn't a real job, but you know what I mean, like people are conquering real world issues out there, and it's cool that like we could kind of be that. Whatever, you know.
Rado on Twitter saying, that was a really, I could have picked you up there. I do know what you mean. Very good point, Nick. Sorry. We've definitely hit the wall for the day. Rado saying, please upset Daryl with some bad rapping, and also say we are still just adjusting to seeing Ken Carmen on YouTube every day.
I'm working on a Daryl Ryder rap.
Oh, that. As I remember, a good friend of mine in high school got told by a fair maiden, this was not me. It definitely was not me. It was definitely somebody who actually had a chance with women in high school. Don't tease if you can't please.
Wow.
Yeah. Young man, I believe about 16, got that line dropped on him. He's never recovered.
Yeah. Yeah, that I imagine.
40, I wouldn't recover from that. Hank in Akron wants to say something nice, and I like nice things being said. What's up, buddy?
Nick, long live Timber Cup.
The good old days, from what I can remember. All right,
listen, man, I mean, here's the thing, right? And I know you know that we have our own audience as well. And it's just trying to explain to people, like, how good this Indians and Guardians organization has been for decades. It's been decades of sustainable winning based on not having any money. And then it's like, how do you explain that to people? Because they're always like, Dolan's, Dolan's, Dolan's. I'm like, guys, The team literally keeps winning despite not having any money. Like, this is what they do. They're a winning organization, and they've done it for 30 years. And I want to stab myself with a pencil.
Well, don't do that, right? You don't want to harm yourself on this. Here's listen, I definitely think that some of the frustration and a fair amount of the frustration with the Dolans, I totally get it. And I feel that sometimes, but you know, I didn't live through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Yeah, my dad was a baseball fan who grew up and with basically the modern-day equivalent of the Pittsburgh Pirates for 30 years. And he was so good about just being like, are you enjoying this? Like when 94 came around, are you enjoying this? And I'd yeah, Dad, I love this. And he would always tell me, like, good, because this stuff doesn't last. This is not like there were 30 years of darkness before this. And at any point, you just with baseball, you don't know it could plunge into that. And the fact that it's been the opposite of 30 years of darkness, like, man, I would take a Guardians ring, and a Guardians ring would mean as much to me as anything could mean in this town, because that was the team that got me, right?
Yeah.
That being said, I'll take an ALCS and I'll take another wild card round and I'll take what you've gotten over the last 20 years, even if it isn't perfect, man, it is so much better than so many of the other teams in a similar situation get.
Well, and it's not even that. I mean, the money that we have spent over the years, anytime that they've like gone for the fence in terms of money wise, it's been a swing and a miss every single time.
Well, and so do you know why though, Hank? Because baseball, free agency in baseball has gotten to a point where it's ridiculous. Like, because there's no salary cap, because there's really no, I know they say they have a floor and a ceiling and all that crap, and because there's, you know, revenue sharing, it's like 13-year contracts are stupid. What was that 4-year deal for Michael Bourne in 2013? That's not good baseball. And it's weird to me because I'd love that Pete Alonso 3-year, $65, $75 million deal. I'd pop for it like anyone else. It might end up just being another version of Edwin Encarnacion, which was good but not great.
Exactly the point. So what you need to say to everybody is, hey, what do you do? What do you do? Hey, what do you do? Hey, love you guys. Take care. Have a good weekend, man. All right.
Thanks, Hank. You're the best, buddy. Appreciate you, Hank. 330 to go. Always one of the, not just a great listener of the station, but a great just kind of resource.
Community guy.
Oh, absolutely. Always. And by the way, every once in a while, I'll see him tweet about something. It's like, hey, there's a fire. I'll be like, oh, that's right down the road from my house. I hope everything's okay.
Speaking of, like, every now and again,
breaking news out of here.
And, like, every now and again, you know, you run into, like, a fan and a listener or whatever. Like, the amount of times I've run into Hank somewhere and he's, like, blessed me with, like, we were at Firestone in Akron calling, and boom, here's Hank with like a big tray of barbecue in his hands, like just feeding me. I'm like, okay, Hank, thank you.
I mean, Baskin Phelps is going to get very jealous at that. Not only are you going to rap for Daryl, and you're definitely going to one up rapping Baskin, but now you're getting free food from one of our great listeners here. So one again, very much thankful for Hank and the kind words. So we'll actually do a quick thing here on the Guardians because I do want to get to the Shador discourse thing because it just needs to be said in probably about 7 minutes. But specific to the Guardians, like, to me, what stands out when we talk Guardians is just there does seem to be a fundamental flaw in that we've all taken our stances here. And I've been guilty of this too, by the way. I've not been flawless in my Guardians conversations. But I think we're all just a little beholden to narratives. Like, for instance, be frustrated that the Dolans don't spend enough on the actual on-the-field product. I think that's a fair frustration to have. It's not the thing that I want to hear 2 seconds after a team that shouldn't have been in the playoffs got eliminated from the playoffs, but I understand that that's a legitimate frustration. I don't know David Blitzer's going to fix that overnight. I think bad ownership's bad ownership, and that tends to run with small market teams. But at the same point, you also have to give them credit for like keeping Chris Antonetti and Chernoff and for harboring this environment where these guys do have money to spend on the farm system. They do have, if you like the pitching factory, that's because they spend money on the minor league system. So both things are true. The worst thing you can say about the Dolans and the best thing, they're both true. And specific to Chernoff, I don't think that there's a front office out there I would rather have given the economic conditions for the Cleveland Guardians. I just don't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Like, there's a lot of really interesting, really smart, great front offices out there, But any of the guys that have done it the way Antonetti and Chernoff are like Andrew Friedman and end up in L.A. with $300 million to spend. So they were bad last offseason. They signed a couple starters. They signed a couple relievers. One worked out. It was Jacob Junis. John Means might work out, but we never really got to see that this year, right? All the bats they signed didn't work out. Hedgie was Austin Hedges and Carlos Santana was washed. And they didn't, and where they got, in my opinion, super reckless is they didn't trade from some of their dearth of prospects to bring in just one more proven player. And so there were some bad breaks in there, like Lane Thomas's health, and there were some other, you know, Chase DeLauder and all that. But like, they're still one of the best front offices in baseball. Steven Vogt criminally overmanages games, but that's who he is, and that's what makes him a good manager. So like, the worst thing you can say on every level of this team is true, and the best thing you can say is true. But I think the frustrating thing for me as a Guardians fan is that if you don't just side with one thing, and this is the absolute truth about it, it becomes you're a shill or you're a hater. Instead of, no, both things are true. And we live in a world where both things are true, and this there is a reason why the Guardians have been successful. And it's not just being in spite of the Dolan ownership. The truth about the Shador discourse in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We actually finally heard a player talk about Shador. I've heard ex-players talk about Shador. I've heard ex-NFL coaches. I've heard media members, meaning like beat reporters. I've heard fans talk about Shador. And it's funny, I was on with my buddy Bill Ryder today, and I declared myself as Switzerland. And he's like, well, it sounds like you're more, like maybe, I can't remember what he said, but basically that I'm more positive about Shador than not. And I was like, well, I think some of my positivity is I look at the kid and I go, skill set wise, I think he has what it takes to be anywhere from the 13th best starting quarterback in the NFL to 20th. Now he's got to put in the work. He's got to adapt to the NFL. He's got to adapt to not being coached by his dad. But physically, when we talk about physical talent, the concerns I have about Dylan Gabriel aren't there with Shador. Now I would not have taken him with a number two pick under any circumstances. I might have thought about it at 33 or 35. I definitely would have thought about it at 92 over Dylan Gabriel. But the truth is, like, I don't feel beholden to either of these quarterbacks. Like, we should treat them like scratch-off lottery tickets until proven otherwise. But I'm watching the discourse fall out with Shador Sanders. And the latest one's pantomiming, but certainly the one before this was him saying that he feels like he could do better than a lot of the starting quarterback stuff you see around the NFL, and that he's confident he'll be ready to go when his number's called. And every time this kid winks or thinks about looking into a camera, there's some sort of reaction on both sides. And this is where, like, I truly am Switzerland, because Shador fans, the Shahive, thinks I'm a Shahater, and the Shahaters thinks I'm a Shahomer. And the truth is, he's just a kid on a roster. He is a third-string quarterback. He is a fifth-round pick. I think he was a great value grab in the fifth round. But this discourse about the pantomiming, I mean, I got Cam Newton out here dressed out like Gary Oldman as Count Dracula, like Vlad the Damn Impaler on ESPN saying he thinks the Browns are trying to sabotage Shador Sanders. Wrong! They're trying to help him. Just how they're going about it is back-ass words. Then we have Ryan Clark say, I'm not asking you to be inauthentic. I'm just asking you to be self-aware. How the hell do we know that he isn't? Every time the kid talks, he actually talks, not pantomimes talks. He actually says, like, a mature thing. He has a healthy disposition about him that I don't see why some people think is arrogant and other people think is humble. It's somewhere in the middle. It is confident, but it's not arrogant, and it's certainly not the peak of humility. All I saw when I was in Berea for camp, Nick, all I saw was a good kid who stayed after, who really believes in the idea of fan service. And when you hear people talk about him, Bruce Arians, don't interview him. It's the media's fault. It's like, I don't think, and God, I have survived, because when we're in Cleveland, we've survived it all.
Yep.
We're like Keith Richards with a nuclear holocaust. We are. Like, at the end of times, with mushroom clouds going off, it's going to be Keith Richards smoking a cigarette, probably with a bottle of something, and like 1,000 cockroaches around him. Well, that's Cleveland sports fans with a Cleveland sports scene for as long as I've been alive. I've survived LeBron leaving twice. I've survived Johnny Manziel. I've survived Baker Wars, the Sashi Wars, the Watson Wars. Where the hell these wars are now? The wars, the Infinity Wars, hell if I know. All the Gates, all the Ghazis, all of them. And none of them have engendered the kind of vitriol on both sides. The Shahive is out of their shadam minds. All right, as is the people who think, I'll tell you exactly what it is. Because Shador is a social media quarterback, so he is an influencer / quarterback, no one knows how to handle this kid, and no one knows how to talk about this kid in a way that is measured, thoughtful, and I don't know, like he's a freaking human being. And it is the damnedest thing, guys. It really is. Because the truth is, he hadn't done a damn thing in the NFL yet. And he might not. And still, people go out of their way to out social media, when it comes to takes on Shador. Because he's the great influencer quarterback, right? If you are a Shador supporter, nothing this kid does is wrong. Nothing this kid has ever done is wrong. And he's a completely mature human being who can't stand to grow up. And everything this kid touches turns to gold. At the same point, if you are a Shahater or a Shannon believer, everything this kid does is some Machiavellian type explosion of ego and need for attention. And you're both wrong. Like this social media explosion of media trying to out social media, you don't have to do it. We don't have to have think tanks, and we don't have to have sit down moments, come to Jesus moments about pantomiming words in a unscripted moment. Was it the best look? No. Was it the worst look? No. Somewhere in between. But no one can say it. The second you slap the Shador label on it, people lose their ever-loving minds. And nobody realizes they're doing it. I'm doing it now for effect. But nobody realizes they're doing it. Like, there is no measured on Shador. And that's more annoying than anything this kid has ever done.
If it's because of the social media stuff, I feel like traditional sports media is kind of in for a rude awakening, because I hate to tell you guys, like, Shador, 23 years old, guess what? The kids that are coming up after him and the high school quarterbacks right now understand the popularity and the polarization of Shador Sanders. And who you think they're going to model after? You think they're going to model after somebody like Jalen Hurts that is a little bit more boring and that doesn't say a whole lot? Or you think they're going to try to be somebody like Shador Sanders? Because now we're living in a generation, and I'm saying this as somebody like Nick, I grew up with social media. I understand, and it's helped me in my career. I've leveraged social media in my career to get me on Afternoon Drive with you. I've used it as a tool. I think we're only going to see that continue in the world of athletics. Like, Shador Sanders is kind of the first of his kind. There are going to be plenty of characters similar to Shador Sanders, and I hate to tell you guys, probably worse than Shador Sanders to follow, because he is such a big deal online. But the thing is, he's actually not doing anything or saying anything or acting poorly.
Well, but so to what you're saying, the only thing that I can really think about, like the only thing that I can draw an equivalence to, there's nothing in sports. Meaning, like, for what Shador's actually done in sports versus the outrage on both sides at anything that, like, all he's done is kind of be a 22-year-old kid that was good in college and then got drafted but didn't handle the pre-draft process right. That's all he's done. He has not substantiated any of the hate or hope on either side. So, like, LeBron, there's a reason why every response is heightened to the level it is.
Yep.
Johnny Manziel, the same thing. Baker Mayfield. Think of all the athletes. Cam Newton himself looking like Count Damn Dracula. Like, whatever it is, every other player that gets this kind of polarization has earned it on the field as much as they've earned it in, like, the press box. And the only thing I can think of, it's like it's a political movement. And because of that, when you get to that heightened pitch, there's no going back. Once people have decided that he's either the great evil or the great great, and that's just how it is, it's like this echo chamber of people just farting into each other's biscuits on this crap. And it is wild. Like, there are so many people I like and respect. Think the world of in the national media or locally. And when they talk about Shador, I'm like, where's logic? Where's like common sense in this? Because we're talking about this like we're heading towards some sort of national trial where at the end of it, he's going to be convicted or declared of something. And that's just, he's a football player.
Well, it's kind of the truth, isn't it? At the end of this, he's either going to be good or he's going to be a bad quarterback.
But every other thing that has been, you know, politicized or blown up to this level that's heightened, we've at least had that. We haven't had that with Shador. Played 2 years in the national level at Colorado, did well, did certainly well, better than anything Colorado had done previously. But I mean, is this, I'll continue to go back to, I don't know on any topic in sports, the discourse has missed the ever-loving point more than with Shador Sanders. And I've missed it at points, my partner's missed it at points, but I got to be honest with you, the batting average on this show and this station is so much better than it is to the general conversation, which is so much worse than the actual experience with Shador, which has been mostly very positive, and he seems like a nice kid, and he might have a chance to do something. Who the hell knows? Daryl Ryder in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.